Well, good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our morning service today. Special warm welcome to any visitors who may be worshipping with us this morning. We pray that the Lord will bless you and renew you in mind, spirit, and body as you holiday and worship with us this morning. I'm sure you all had your intimation sheets on the way in, and I'm just going to highlight two or three things. The evening service at 6 o'clock will be taken by our brother John McSwin, and a warm welcome is extended to all to that service. The ladies' Bible study meets tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Road to Recovery on Tuesday at 8 p.m. The prayer meeting is on Wednesday at 7:30, and that is a special evening and a warm welcome to all who can attend. The service is next Sunday. Our own minister, Reverend David MacLeod, is back with us, and in the morning, and Reverend Roddy Morrison will be preaching the Gaelic service in the evening. These are the intimations. Let us worship God. Let us sing to his praise and glory in Psalm 116. Psalm 116, and we'll read at the beginning of the psalm. I love the Lord because my voice and prayers heeded here. I, while I live, will call on him who bowed to me his ear. Down to the end of the verse marked 8. For my distressed soul from death delivered was by thee. Thou didst my mourning eyes from tears, my feet from falling free. Psalm 116, 1-8. I love the Lord because my voice.
I love the Lord.
let us all pray. Our gracious and almighty God, as we bow in your presence this morning, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. When you have brought us through the still and the dark watches of the night that is now passed by, and you opened our eyes to behold another day, a new beginning in our life's journey. And along with one of all, we can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It is a day that reminds us once again that our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ rose triumphant from death and from the grave, that he ascended up into the highest heaven, and that he sat down at the right hand of glory, and that he is alive forevermore in the power of an endless eternity. And as we sang at the beginning of our service, I love the Lord because my voice and prayers he did hear, and the prayers of your praying people, although we do not hear them this morning, are rising up, and they are heard by thee. And we thank you, Lord, that you are indeed the God who hears and answers prayer. And help us, Lord, to humbly bow down before you at the throne of your grace and of your mercy, and that we would cry from the bottom of our hearts unto thee, our God, to save us from ourselves and to save us from the sin that so easily besets us. We thank you, Lord, for all you have done for us in Christ Jesus. We thank you for his life here on earth and the wonderful things that he did, the miracles he performed, and the wonderful example he left us to follow. We thank you that he went steadfastly to Calvary's cross, and there he died in our place and in our stead. No one killed you, Lord, but you laid your life down, a ransom for your own people. And we thank you tonight, this morning, Lord, that the cross is empty. We thank you that the tomb is empty, that Jesus rose triumphant over death and the grave, and that he is alive forevermore. We pray today, Lord, for those who are still out with the fold, the young, the old, the middle-aged. And Lord, you know that they are in our own family, in our own villages, the surrounding neighborhoods of beloved islands and highlands. Yes, Lord, even to the ends of the earth, young, old, and middle-aged, out on the cold hills of sin and iniquity. That is where I was myself, Lord, until you found me. And that is where those who are still out with the fold are. But the good shepherd is out on the hills looking for his own. And none of his own will be lost. But he will take them home, and they will be in the fold, and there will be one fold, and there will be one shepherd. Jesus, the good shepherd of his own flock. And we praise you today for your faithfulness to us. Although we turned our back on thee, you did not turn your back on us. We praise and thank you, Lord, that you are here today. We cannot see you with our physical eyes, but through the eyes of faith. And according to your promise, where two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst in order to bless. And we know that you are here for a promise without fulfilling you never did give. And we ask, Lord, that you would bless us as we continue in our worship, as we sing your praises together. Grant that our praises may not at any time be lip service, but coming from the very depth of our heart and being, giving thee the glory and the praise such as you are so worthy of. We pray, Lord, for those who are laid aside this day on beds of illness, at home or in hospital, in old folks' homes, in sheltered homes, wherever they may be, Lord, whatever their situation. We pray that your healing hand would be upon each one, restoring to health and strength of mind and body, for that be your gracious will. And we pray today, Lord, for those who are grieving the loss of loved ones. And we remember the Johnson family, and we remember the MacLeod family in Oregon, and we remember the relations of Effie MacLennan in Scarborough. Pray, Lord, that you would comfort and uphold each one, those who are broken in heart and grieved in their minds. O Lord, we are but poor comforters at the best of times. But you are the great physician and the great comforter and the one who is able to do for them far above anything we are able to ask or think. And we commit them to you. And as we pray for those who mourn, so, Lord, we also pray for those who have joyous news. And we pray this morning for Jane and David MacDonald and the birth of their little boy. We thank you, Lord, that new life has been brought into this world, and we pray that you would bless them, and little Finlay, that you would be around him for good, and that you would bless the proud grandparents, Lord, as well, and the uncles. We bring them before you, and we rejoice in their happiness, and we pray your blessing upon each one of them. And we pray now, Lord, as we continue with our service, that you yourself would stand in our midst, and that you would make yourself known to us through your Spirit. Grant us grace to wait upon yourself, and pray that you would bless the little children who are with us as they go to their summer Sunday school, that you would be with them there. Go before us now, Lord, and prepare us, our hearts, for the rest of this service. Take away any distractions. Forgive graciously your sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, boys and girls, if you want to come forward, I've got a wee challenge for you today. Now, I wonder, who of you are good at sums? Are you good at adding and subtracting? You are? Right. First of all, I'll give you an easy one. What is 2 and 2? Oh, everybody knows that. 4. Oh, I think I'd better be careful here. I think you're going to be too clever for me. What if I said 5 and 5? Right, you're good at adding. What about subtracting? If I had 10, see those bent fingers. If I had 10 and I took 2 bent fingers away, how many have I got left?
8.
I think I've gone far enough, because maybe you'll show me up. Eh? I've got something for you here, and I'm going to help you with it, all right? Stand up so that everybody can see it. What does that say?
God's love.
God's love. This is God's love, so that everybody can see it. I did it myself. It's not very good, so you can tell that I made it myself. Now, you're very good at sums, at adding and subtracting. So here is the wee test. How many corners are on God's love? Can you count the corners?
4 corners.
Now, I'm going to cut a corner of God's love, all right? Now, how many corners is that now?
Three.
Five. How many would be five? You told me that if I had five and take away one, it's four. So if you had four corners on God's love and I took a corner away, how can it be five? You count them right. Yes, that's right. I'll give you this corner. You hold on to that, okay? So we started off with four corners. And I cut one off, it should be three, but it's five. What happens if I cut another corner off?
Six.
Oh, you're too clever for me. I'll just give this one to Gordon to hold. How many corners is that now?
Six.
Yes, it's six corners, but are you sure it's six corners? Hold a few bit of paper. How many corners are on that?
Three.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And there's 3 is 9. And Gordon, hold up your corner. Another 3.
That's
12. So how can that be? We started off with 4 corners on God's love. And we cut off one corner, it should be 3, but it became 5. We cut off another corner, it should be 2, but it became 6. And then the corners we cut off was another 6, so it's 12. So what does that tell us? It tells us that no matter how people try to cut off God's love, it just keeps on growing. And God's love is all around us here today. And God loves little children like you. Do you know what God said to the disciples? When one day the children were gathered round and the disciples said, "Away, away, don't bother Jesus." And Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of God." And another version of the Bible says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings," that's young children, "God ordained strength." So you see, you think maybe that God only uses old fogies like me and Gordon, and maybe it's not quite so old, but you know, God can use anyone, and God very often uses little children. And a lot of people, they try to trample God's word under their feet and try and destroy it. But you know something? The Bible, God's word, is still the best-selling book in the world. So you see, no matter how anyone tries to trample God's love, it grows and grows every day. And we pray that God's word and his love will grow in your young hearts. Do you remember that wee story of God's love, how it just keeps on growing? We'll have a wee prayer with you now. Gracious God, we thank you for these lovely little children before us this morning. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless them and bless their mummies and daddies and grannies and grandpas. And as they go off to their summer Sunday school this morning, we pray, Lord, that they would listen to their teachers and that they would learn something new about yourself today, and that you, O Lord, would plant your love deep in their heart and in their soul, and in your own good time, Lord, that they would come to know Jesus as their own personal Savior and friend, come to know his life everlasting. Bless us now, and we pray, and go before us, and prepare us all for whatever you have in store for us.
pardon your sins for Jesus' sake.
Amen. We're now going to sing a wee chorus with the children. It's not in any of the hymn books. I know it's in the old junior praise book, but not in the books today. It will be on the screen, and you can stand up, boys and girls. And if you want to do the action with the hymn, you can do so. And we can sing this chorus through twice. It's Jesus' love is very wonderful. But if you know the actions, you can do the actions.
Love is very wonderful, Jesus. Love is very wonderful, Jesus. Love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. It's so high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it. Oh, wonderful love. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. It's so high, you can't get over it. So low, you can't get under it. So wide, you can't get around it. Oh, wonderful love.
Thank you, and God bless you all. Now read a portion of God's word, as we find that in John's Gospel, and chapter 3. The Gospel of John, and chapter 3, and we'll read at the beginning of the chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have sinned, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen, and may the Lord add his own blessing to his own holy and inspired word, and to his name be the praise and the glory. Neil McKinnon is now going to lead us in your Gaelic prayer. Thank you, Neil. We'll sing now in Gaelic, and it's Psalm 31. Psalm 31, and verses 23 and 24. Craggich of Dia, O Nuibus hath to steered and trebidach, the knees are yen, steel good pad, the noigrach arbisach. Chief Chukudin Gion of Graz, where Dorcas Maris called, the Mishnachalis Kudia, Yashna, Kriesk Troll. Down the Salam Kirk had in it, da round, a country round had in it, grab it your gear, or nine is not.
Thank you.
Again to the Word of God that we read together in John's Gospel, chapter 3. And we can read again verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I think it is safe for me to say that this is one, if not the best known verse in the whole Bible. It is a verse that speaks to us of God's love. God's love for a fallen human race. When God created the world, the universe, and called everything that the human eye can see, and the multitudes that are unseen to us, he called them into existence by the power of his spoken word. God created everything. And when God had finished his marvelous work of creation, he pronounced that it was all very good. Genesis 1:31. God created man, Adam, from the dust of the earth. And he created Eve by taking a rib from Adam's side. And the man and the woman, they were in perfect harmony with God. They were sinless. That is until the day that Satan, in the form of a serpent, slithered into the Garden of Eden. The garden where God had placed Adam and Eve to tend it. For they had such wonderful harmony with their Maker. And when God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, he said to them, "Of all the trees of the garden, I give you to eat the fruit thereof. But there is one tree in the midst of the garden, the tree of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that you do eat of it, surely you will die." They weren't to die bodily, but they were to die spiritually. We have that in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. And because Adam and Eve did eat of that fruit, the serpent beguiled Eve, and she ate of the fruit. And she gave to her husband Adam, and he did eat likewise. And because they did eat of it, sorrow and suffering and pain and sin and death came into our existence. And the very same is with us to this very day. But God did not leave our first parents in their fallen state. No. God had a plan B. God always has a plan B. And in the fullness of time, that is in God's perfect timing. God's timing is always spot on. In his perfect timing, he was going to send the darling of his bosom, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to seek and to save Adam's lost race. That's us. And now, in the time we have lived, and as the Lord may be pleased to guide us by his Spirit, let's take a closer look at this verse that we chose as our text. And the first thing that we see is, for God so loved the world. Does that mean that God loves every single person in the world? Well, the answer is no, it doesn't. John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and at verse 6 says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, this is Jesus speaking, thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. And again, verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. It is clear from Scripture that everyone in this world will not be saved. If everyone were to be saved, then there would only be a heaven. There would be no need for a hell. But the Bible speaks very plainly of hell. And sadly, millions of people will end up there. Now, I know people don't take kindly to talk about hell. People like to talk about a loving, kind God. They don't want to hear about a God who puts people to hell. But we, doesn't matter who we are, whether we're ministers or preaching elders, we cannot preach heaven without also preaching hell. And we must warn those who are still out with the fold that there is a hell to shun. Hell is a very real place. Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16 and verse 33 has this to say. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Now, when you read that chapter, it talks about the sons of Korah and how they turned against God, and the pit is another word for hell. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. I've got too many markers in my Bible. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28 reads, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Hell is a very real place. But you may very well say that God is a loving, a kind, a merciful, and a forgiving God. Yes, he is. God is gracious. He's forgiving, he's merciful, he's kind, he's long-suffering, but he is also an angry God. He is angry at sin, and he is angry with the sinner. That's me and you. That's God's testimony upon each one of us. whether we are Christians or not. We sin daily in our thoughts, in our words, in our doings. That is God's word, and that's God's testimony upon you and me. And God is angry at sin. Book of Psalms and chapter 5. Book of Psalms chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hittest all workers of iniquity. And again at chapter 11, book of Psalms chapter 11, and verses 5 and 6, which says, the Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that liveth violence, his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire and brimstone, and an horrible tempest that shall be the portion of their cup. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21, though hand would join in hand, the wicked shall not go unpunished. God will punish sin. And if God did not punish sin, he would not be a just God. His credibility would be gone. But God is just and is righteous. God will punish sin that has not been repented of. We at times hear the saying, there's a heaven to gain and there's a hell to shun. But that is not actually in the Bible. I could not find it in the Bible. If it is there, you can tell me and prove me wrong. But I don't think it's in the Bible. I couldn't find it. But I was doing some research. I came across this one little verse. There's a poem, but I chose this verse out of the poem. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The way is still straight. There's a race to be run. You can live as you please, but you must pay the cost. And the highway to heaven still goes by the cross. There's a solemn warning for us all in that wee poem. And we would all do well to heed it. Now moving on to the next part of the verse, which says, for God gave his only son. He gave his only son. And now before I attempt to say a few words about that, I'm going to tell you a wee story. I'm going to tell you this story as if the Son was standing here telling you. This is what he had to say. My mother had only one eye. I hated her, for she was an embarrassment. She cooked for students and teachers alike to support her family. One day, she came to my elementary school just to say hello. I was so embarrassed. I ignored her. I threw her a hateful look and I ran out. The next day at school, one of my classmates said, EWW, that must be the initial for the boy's name, I don't know what it was. EWW, your mum has only one eye. I confronted her that day and I said to her, if you're going to make me a laughingstock, why don't you just die? I just wanted to get out of that house and have nothing to do with her. So I studied hard. I got a chance to study abroad. I got married. I bought a house. We had kids. I was happy with my life. Then one day, my mother came to visit me. She hadn't seen me in years. My children saw her and they screamed. I shouted at her for scaring my children and I told her to leave. She quietly left. I never saw her again. Years later, I went back to my hometown for a reunion. And out of curiosity, I inquired about my mother. The neighbors told me she had died. They handed me a letter that she wanted me to have. It read, my dearest son, I think of you all the time. I'm sorry I came to your house and scared your children. I was so glad when I heard you were coming to the reunion. But I may not be able to get out of my bed. I'm sorry that I was a constant embarrassment to you when you were growing up. But you see, son, when you were a very little boy, you had a terrible accident. And you lost your eye. As a mother, I couldn't stand by and watch you growing up like that. So I gave you my eye. I was so proud of you, son, seeing a whole new world for me in my place with that eye, with all my love. Now that's a very touching story. And I can unashamedly say that the first time I read it, I cried. Still brings a tear to my eye. We cannot but feel sorry for that poor, rejected mother. But wait a minute. What about herself? Did we not reject Jesus Christ? Are we not guilty of that? Did we not turn our back on him? How many times have you sat under the preached word of God and you have heard the invitation, come to me, says Jesus, and I will give you rest. I will wash all your sins away. Though they may be as scarlet, they'll be white as snow. Though they be as crimson, they will be made as wool. You're guilty, and I'm guilty. Jesus not only gave his eye, he gave his life. Gave his life for you and for me who believe in him. He gave his life a ransom that we might live. We rejected him, we despised him. Our voices, although unheard, were mingled with the voices of those who cried, away with him, away with him. We will not have this man to rule over us. The night before Jesus was crucified, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's when his chosen disciples fell asleep while Jesus prayed. Luke chapter 22 and verse 44. We have these words. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He prayed to God the Father, oh, remove this cup from me. Jesus saw the bile and all that cup held. The sins of the world, your sins, my sins, compacted into that cup. And he prayed, oh God, remove this cup from me, but not my will, but yours be done. And he sweated as if it were great drops of blood. Hematidrosis. Medical people, Dr. Litham here, he will pronounce that word better than I can. I'm sure I've pronounced it wrong. Hematidrosis is a rare but a very real medical condition where one's sweat contains blood. The sweat glands are surrounded by tiny blood vessels. And these vessels, under severe pressure, they can rupture. And the blood will then effuse into the sweat glands. Its cause, extreme anguish. The anguish of Jesus as he cried to the Father. He knew what was in store. And he prayed that the cup would pass over him, but not my will, but yours. Matthew 26:38, my distress has brought me to the threshold of death. But you know, this was only the beginning of Jesus' sufferings. Shortly after this agony in Gethsemane, Judas Iscariot, one of his own disciples, betrayed him. Betrayed him with a kiss. Simon Peter, another of his disciples, denied three times that he ever knew him. But we all know that Simon Peter repented. He went out into the night and he wept bitterly. Have you wept for your sins? Have I wept for my sins? Oh, Peter wept bitterly. and Peter was restored again. But we see Judas Iscariot. He went out into the night and he hung himself. That's the difference, you see. One can fall, but one can be reinstated again. What better example do we have than David himself? King David, who sinned in his adultery with Bathsheba. And not only that, but committed murder. He didn't kill Uriah, but he had his soldiers to kill him. And he was guilty of adultery. He was guilty of murder. But David repented, and he was used mightily by the Lord. And you can be a vile sinner just the same as I was. And the Lord can use you for his glory. What an example Jesus has left us. And we see that in Isaiah chapter 53. What a wonderful chapter we have there. Isaiah chapter 53 is one of my own favorite chapters. But I would just like to highlight one verse of that chapter. Verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. So unlike yourselves, we are. When we as human beings are put down on, nature tends to fight back. But Jesus accepted everything. And Jesus' strength came from his committing himself to God the Father. And when Jesus needed to do that, how much more do we need to do it? Commit ourselves to God and to his mercy and to his upholding grace. This commitment to the Father was what upheld him as he was stripped of his clothes. A purple robe was put on him, depicting a king. A crown of thorns was put on his head. Not just a crown of spikes. Spikes would probably be 2 inches long. And they were pressed down into his head until the blood poured. A crown of thorns. He was mocked. He was ridiculed. He was despised. He was spat on. He was pummeled with bare fists and hands. He was scourged by Pilate. Scourging was a whipping. And the whips the Romans used, at the ends of the whip, there was chunks of bone or metal. And with every whiplash, Jesus' back, chunks of flesh were torn out. And by the time the scourging was over, Jesus' back was like something that was plowed. He was unrecognizable. Never did any human being suffer as Jesus did. yet he opened not his mouth. Do you know something? He did it for you. If you believe in him, did it for you. And you know, all that happened before he was put on the cross. Roman cross, a Roman gibbet, an instrument of torture and death. Spikes driven through both his hands, driven through both his feet. And then the cross was lifted up and dropped into its place. And the jolt would grip his hands and grip his feet. And his blood poured even more. He was lifted up between heaven and earth. Our Lord and Savior. And you know, Jesus was 100% human. He was also 100% God. But because he was 100% human, he felt everything that we would feel, all the pain, all the anguish, all the agony. He was the same as we are, except without sin. He was the spotless, sinless Son of God. And you know, Jesus' physical agonies, they were nothing compared to his agonies of spirit and soul. They far outstripped his physical agonies. I cannot anyway, frail human being, go into the agonies of Jesus. But I do know that his agonies of spirit and soul far outweighed his physical agonies. But you know something? I believe that his greatest pain was when God the Father turned his back on him. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Did God the Father really turn his back? Did he forsake his son? No, he didn't. But because God is of purer eye than to look upon sin, he turned his back on his son, who was bearing the sins of his people. The sins that you and I have committed. The sins we are committing. And the sins we are still to commit. They were there on Jesus in his body. On the cross of Calvary. Is it little wonder that God the Father turned his face away? And you know, our sins as Christian believers are washed away. Sins we have committed, the sins we are committing, and the ones we are still to commit, they are washed away at Calvary. But you know, that does not give you or me a license to go and live our lives any way we like, to do what we like. No. No. We need to live our lives worthy of what we profess. And if we profess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we will have the desire to live our lives as He. He would want us. He is the perfect example. Let us live our lives for Him. Jesus' final words from the cross: "It is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. Your sins, my sins, have been paid in full." I'm taking too long, and I'm going to finish with this. Your sins and my sins are wiped out forever. But who then can be saved? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Who can be saved? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. And I'm going to finish with this. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek." That is how we can be saved, by putting our faith and trust in this Jesus who gave His life a ransom for you and for me, who cried out on the cross, "It is finished. All paid for. You have nothing to pay. It is given you freely." It's a gift. It's the free, gracious gift of God if you accept it. May God grant that you would accept this invitation today. For God, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died in your place, not for the whole world, but those who believe in Him. May each one of us, and I pray that none inside this building would ever perish, but come to know Jesus as their Savior, and all those whom you love and cherish also. May God bless those few thoughts in His Word. Let us. Our gracious and ever-blessed God, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the story of the cross. We thank You that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should never perish, but have everlasting life. Put each one of us, Lord, in that position where we would come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we may be saved for time and for eternity. Bless all that we have attempted to do this morning, singing Your praises, reading Your Word, and as we try to go into the riches of Your gospel, that You would take our faltering words, Lord, and apply it to all of our hearts and souls, forgiving me for anything I may have said that is not in accordance with Your will. And I pray, Lord, for our brother John McSwain as he takes the evening service, that You would grant to him the unction of Your Spirit, and that You would enable him to unashamedly and boldly proclaim to us the riches of Your gospel. Go before us into the rest of this day. Keep us safe and keep us at all times humble at Your footstool, always looking to Thee, who art the author and perfecter of our faith. Hear us in our prayers, pardon our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our final praise is Mission Praise 33. "And can it be that I should gaze